Good evening and welcome back to Stadiasource, your number one source for Stadia news and reviews. This is the Stadiasource Roundtable Podcast. My name is Avery and we have got a great show for tonight, so let's get started. With me tonight, as always, in the box to my left is Lord Moore.
Hello.
You went the wrong direction, but that's okay.
I know.
So did you.
We got Dan.
How did you?
Below him, we've got Lee.
Hello.
And we got Dom in the middle.
Evening.
We've got Miles underneath me here.
Hey, y'all.
And we have a couple of amazing guest hosts from tonight. You may know them for the battle they wage against information and boredom as part of the Stadia Initiative, streaming live most Friday evenings. It's LXIV and Megatron. How are y'all tonight?
Thanks for having us.
Good. So glad. So glad to have you on the podcast. We're glad to have you. Before we get started, did you know you can get the Stadiasource Roundtable as an actual podcast in your earbuds? Search for us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, or wherever it is that you happen to get podcasts. Right there, that list down there, Spotify Podcasts, etc. Before we get started, let's get to know our guest hosts just a little bit tonight. We've got Meg and 64. Down there, as I've been told to say, 64, right? Did I get that right?
64, right? But you make
64.
It.
I was so close. I was so close.
You get
okay.
It.
Meg, we'll go ladies first. Meg, tell us a little bit about your the streams that you do. I know you stream quite a bit, and the games that you like, and your history with Stadia and how you kind of found the platform.
Well, so I run a channel called Megatron X, and it's Stadia only. I do live streams and videos, more videos lately than live streams. But it's all Stadia, all different games that come out. I've been playing Stadia since the start. I was a founder, and I bought the Founders Edition just like a couple days after they announced the platform. So I love Google, and I use all the Google Calendar and Gmail, and I have the Pixel phone. So it was like really natural for me to kind of slide into the Google ecosystem of Stadia. And it's great. Most recently I've been playing Elder Scrolls Online and Red Dead Online.
Very nice. 64, how about you? Tell us about your Stadia history.
Yeah, as like Meg, I've been a founder of Stadia day one. And, you know, I started off streaming a lot of Stadia. My channel has been just lots of different platforms. But when Stadia came out, I was just fixated on it. I love the platform. And I do a lot of streaming. Sometimes I do informational videos as well. But I do streams for the community. I call it Multiplayer Mayhem. And I focus on community building in different games on different platforms as well. But heavily focused on Stadia for the most part. Love it.
Fantastic. Well, it's super awesome to have you here to discuss the week's news and the hot topics of the day. We have already got the chat is buzzing. We've got Mamatron X in there. So happy to have the mom going on, and Antonio and Owen and Elsa and Stadia Dosage and a whole bunch of folks. Brotherhood, Eddie's in the chat. Derek's in the chat. Project Storm, thank you, Stadia Dosage, for sending a few folks our way tonight. We're so glad to have you. As we talk about our favorite place to play. So let's kick it off as we always do with a discussion of what have we been playing. And I know I normally start, so I'm going to go the opposite direction. We'll start with our guests. Meg, Elder Scrolls and Red Dead, anything else on your Stadia playlist?
I've been meaning to check out the free games for this month. I have only got around to Kona just yet, so I did try Kona, which is cool. It's in Canada. I'm Canadian, so it's fun to have a game that's like, there aren't many games that take place in Canada. So I was, of course, it's like a winter blizzard. I don't know if the weather gets better as you play because like it's cold. Like, but I've been checking out Kona, and I will check out the rest of the pro games for this month at some point. I have until September, so.
I think this might be our most international pod ever. We got America, we got the UK, several bits of that represented. We got Canada. Like, it's the most international pod we've ever had. 64, how about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah, man, I've really been focusing heavy on the crew, too. I've been trying to grind. I'm an icon now, you know, but there's some heavy icons out there in the 500s. I'm down in the low 70s, you know, trying to get to 80. I'm grinding, though. You know, myself and the PFGs, we're trying to get up there so we can start whipping on people on the outside of our community online. You know, they know what it is. They know what it is. Yeah. The Crew 2 is amazing on that platform. The what is it? The Stream Connect on there is just, it just makes it so much more fun being able to see what's happening when somebody messes up and does a crash, but they're trying to pretend they didn't. It's like, I caught that, you know. They're trying to tell you, you know, it's hilarious. It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how I missed the memo on Stream Connect and the Crew 2. I was watching somebody stream the other night. It might have been Twiz or somebody. And then they had the other box. I'm like, does this game have Stream Connect? How did I not know that? Not the brightest bulb in the marquee. Lee, what have you been... Don't agree with that. None of you are allowed to agree with that. Lee, what have you been playing this week?
I give Borderlands 3 a few hours of my time.
You're not Assassin's Creed Odyssey? You finally escaped from Greece?
I told you last week, I put that to bed. That's done. I've moved on. Right, I'm ready for Valhalla. All right, that's what I'm thinking now. So Borderlands 3, put a few hours into that. And F1 2020. That have been the two main games for me this week.
You got a second for Crew 2. Crew 2 is absolutely lit. I agree. I've enjoyed that game myself. I just haven't picked it up in forever. Dom, what have you been playing?
I've been playing an absolute ton of MK11 because I was lucky enough to win one of the codes for one of the crowdplay sessions, which I haven't actually managed to play crowdplay yet because every time I get in a queue, the queue takes a little while and then I've got to go do something and I miss my spot or something. So, I absolutely love that game. I bought it on the Switch when it first released, but on Stadia it just looks 10 times better than on Switch. And the story is actually surprisingly good. A lot of people don't think it has a story, but the story is, it gets you hooked and it's a lot of fun.
Literally hooked, depending on which character
you're playing. Well, you play like across all the characters, which is quite cool.
Oh, and the story.
So you get to pick, like, if there's two people, it'll give you a choice of who you want to pick for that certain fight and stuff. It's like I said, it's really well done. And if anyone hasn't got it and you like fighting games, pick it up. It's really worth it.
Yeah. If you haven't got it already, try to find one of these crowdplay streams because there's a lot of free codes flying around out there.
Yeah, but Juggernaut's streaming at the moment. He said he's run out of codes. So I don't know whether some of the others still have some.
There is a limit out there. And it occurred to me the other day that, like, I guess it's, I don't know if it's Stadia specifically or if the studio is providing those codes, but they're spending like thousands of dollars on free codes because the game's, what, $60 minus the $20 cut that Google's going to take. So $40 a pop.
It comes with the DLC as well. It's not just the base game. So it comes with Aftermath.
It's an investment, you know. Miles, what have you been playing? This is the first time we've ever been able to ask you this question, so we're so glad to have you. Miles is one of our reviewers. Check out his reviews on StadiaSource.com.
So I've been playing a lot of SteamWorld and Just Jason Beats, which is they're both really fun games. So if you haven't played it, I'd highly recommend it because they aren't really talked about all that much in the Stadia community, but they're really fantastic games that you all should play.
Fantastic. Dan, how about you?
I have been playing absolutely loads of nothing this week. I haven't actually played once. Purely because I've been working on
that. That was a ride. That was a roller coaster right there.
You had me in the first half.
I've been working on the website. I went to go and visit that guy the other day. And we're going on holiday for a couple of weeks, so I've been preparing for that, obviously, as well. So I've absolutely played nothing other than probably Pokemon Go. That's it.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah, you play
from my couch, obviously.
Pokemon don't go.
Yeah. A lot of Pokemon hiding under the couch, apparently.
It's got a kind of like coronavirus thing on at the moment where you can kind of, you don't have to go out very far to catch them now. So you can kind of play it from your couch if you don't want to go out.
Do you not spoof, Dan? Do you not spoof? Like, one of my friends is like an avid Pokemon Go, and he's got two accounts, and one of them he spoofs, and he's in Denmark and China.
I can either confirm or deny that I spoof.
You know the truth.
We do not support nor endorse. Ash, what have you been playing this week?
For me as well, it's been mainly the Crew because, like I said last week, we've got the two versions of the DeLorean coming up, as well as the Knight Rider kit car. So as soon as they're out, I want to buy those straight away and get them done up and looking amazing. And then a little bit of Orcs, just to try the new challenges out.
And we'll take a little bit of a talk on those in just a little bit. I've been also kind of just smattering around a bunch of different games. I've put a little bit of time into Shapes and Beats, and I really enjoy that game. I tried the multiplayer mode on it, which is pretty interesting, I guess. You earn these little coins, and I don't know what you do with them, but I guess it's just bragging rights at this point. And I played a little bit of Strange Brigade last night, and that game is really fun. I'm usually not into, like, zombie shooter kind of things, but this one is such, like, it's, oh, and the adventurers are coming to enter the Egypt now. Well, Strange Brigade, and, like, it's just got such a nutty style to it.
The narrator's great.
The narration,
wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a mummy in that box, you know? and so I've just been having, I really, really actually enjoyed that one. So I think I'm going to, that might be my put some time into it game right now, because I guess I've been not focusing that much on ESO, even though that's been kind of my, after the Somerset stuff ended, I was just like, well, I didn't get anything out of it because I'd never been to Somerset before. So I'll just take a moment and kind of go from there. Nobody playing Crayta. Has anybody tried any of these prize winning Crayta entries lately? There's tons of stuff on there. You may or may not see some folks from Crayta on this channel in the near term. I'm just saying. Discussions and negotiations in right now. So let's get to the news for the week. We had a bunch of trailers that dropped this week for a bunch of different games. FIFA 21, WWE 2K Battlegrounds, and Cyberpunk had the Night City Wire earlier in the week that have dropped quite a few trailers. Have y'all had an opportunity to watch any of these three games particularly high on your radar, and even more so now that you've seen these trailers?
I was watching the FIFA one, and I have no idea when it comes to football. I'm not a football fan. But I was just watching the FIFA one. I was like, that's actually pretty cool, to be fair. So, yeah, maybe I'll have to give it a try.
Man, like, I'm a big FIFA player. I've played FIFA for years. I'm like, on the fence. Like, every year, they hype these games, and then you actually get it, and you play it, and you're like, it's actually pretty much the same game as last year.
Same.
Like, they add in these small little features. A lot of the stuff you don't really use. Like, they added in, like, indoor football arenas. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. And I haven't played it until today, actually, when I went and visited my brother. And he's borrowing my PlayStation. We played it. He was like, have you tried it? I went, no, I've never played it. We played a few games, and it was okay. It's nothing special. I'm excited for FIFA, but at the same time, I'm nervous. Just with recent stuff that they've been saying on social media about crossplay, and I think it will really suffer if it doesn't have crossplay. I know they've talked about it in the past, and they've said it's a long-term goal. Whether that means it's coming to this FIFA or next FIFA, I don't know. I'm in two minds. Like, I want to get it because I enjoy playing FIFA with friends and stuff. But if I can't play FIFA with friends because they're on PlayStation, then
yeah.
Yep. And you know, we had this on our to-do, and I think now's the perfect time to talk about it, is, you know, EA, there was a lot of confusion about this week, whether it was truly crossplay. First, the reports came out from, like, third-party FIFA-interested blog sites and Twitter, and then eventually they got involved and said, no, it started out as, well, you can't play, if you're on, like, PlayStation 5, you can't play with PlayStation 4. Okay, well, that's not the same as you can't play with Xbox and whatever else. And then eventually it's like, no crossplay, well, at least in this generation.
I spoke to Adam about this. I'm not sure they've actually just ruled out, because when they said that on Twitter about no crossplay, it was in an FAQ, a AMA about Ultimate Team. And the second half of their answer was related to Ultimate Team. So I'm wondering whether that is specific to Ultimate Team. Because if you go on the FAQ on their site, as I said, it says there's something that they're looking into. I don't know. They haven't said it one way or the other. It's they've all been a bit hazy about it, and I don't like that.
I always thought as well, when they announced FIFA 21, wasn't one of the big features it was going to be crossplay? Was that not like the big things this year?
No. So when EA did their thing, and they were like, we're thinking about it.
Right.
And that was basically it. And it was like, great. Like, everyone wants it. but
yeah,
I don't understand why they wouldn't want it, because it was, I could just rant about crossplay on any game. It's just so frustrating, but yeah, it's just 10 times better for the consumer. Like,
yeah.
It's the way things are going as well.
You kind of have to. Stadia didn't get it, I think, because as you've seen with some Stadia games that are, you know, matchmaking, when it's only Stadia players, it can be, the wait times can be quite long, and sometimes you can't even find a game at times. So, I mean, a game like FIFA.
I mean, the thing that makes the money for FIFA is Ultimate Team, because people are spending money in microtransactions to get FIFA coins. That makes them the money. If they want people playing that, put crossplay on it, then there's a huge player base to play, and then more people will be spending money. Like,
it's not really exciting. Meg, I know y'all have both. I've heard some of the conversations y'all have had about crossplay on the Stadia initiative, and it's like, you just kind of have to do that right now. Like, it's the expectation of the crowd, right?
I mean, yeah, I'd say at this point, they should be so concerned about their sales. And I mean, they should, obviously, but I mean, losing sales to crossplay is what I mean. At this point, it'll pretty much guarantee a sale for their game, because a person's not concerned about not being able to play with their friends if they're on another platform, especially with these new platforms coming out looking to be upwards of $600-$700 potentially. You know, I mean, there's talks that they're going to be pretty expensive. You want to remove that barrier. I mean, if somebody decides, hey, I do want the PlayStation, I want to play FIFA with you, you know, or whatever sport title it may be, whatever title that, but I'm not willing to invest in that platform, you lose a sale potentially, you know? So just breaking that barrier down for your game, you're going to get a bigger payoff in the end. And it's just better for the consumer. I mean, we want to be able to play with whoever we want to, in spite of what platform we're on. So I've been experiencing a lot of that on a game called Rogue Company, which is just amazing. It's really fascinating to see how it just works across all platforms, Switch included, and they work flawlessly together, you know? So
I'm not a developer. Is it a lot of work adding in crossplay to a game? Does anyone know?
I don't know how much work it is. I've been hearing from the people who've been supported, the developers who've been supportive of it, saying it's not that difficult. It's pretty much a switch for them.
I was going to say, Psyonix, who developed Rocket League, literally said it was like flicking a switch.
Exactly. That's
who they had it ready for a long time before. I think it was Sony was like the last one to agree to do it. Psyonix said, listen, we've got it ready. We just need to flick the switch.
Yeah.
And as soon as Sony agreed, that was it.
I think when it comes to crossplay with a competitive game, they've obviously got to make sure that one platform hasn't got an advantage over another platform, that everything kind of lines up, you know what I mean? So I think it's not hard making it happen. It's just hard keeping the playing field level.
I would say the biggest thing, though, when it comes to that is the cheating, you know, as long as they've got something for anti-cheating on the PC side of things. Again, with the Rogue Company being an example, I know I played with Link, you know, from Link TV. He has the same game. He plays on his PC. He uses mouse and keyboard. I was using the Switch with the controller, and we were having a great time. So apparently, even with mouse and keyboard, different control schemes, it's not a big deal for most people. So just do it.
Yeah, I think, just do it. To me, it doesn't make any sense. It just literally, I can't see a positive for not having it.
Right.
The cheating comment is a good one. I know with Red Dead Online, it's a really small community. There's no crossplay, so everyone on Stadia, we all kind of know each other. And like when we see somebody who's new, you're like, oh, a new person, because like it's just us on there. Mm-hmm. But the other communities have a really, really big problem with cheating. And people, they can use mods and they spawn in a ton of animals and crash everybody who's in that session. And it's like, it's a big problem. And on Stadia, we don't have to worry about that. There's no cheaters. There's no nothing. Everything is very vanilla, you know? And so I do think that that is one aspect that can be concerning to people. And in terms of making it even playing field, Fortnite does a great job of that. You can play Fortnite crossplay with anything, even on mobile as a mobile game. Although Fortnite's a big, there's a big thing happening right now, like breaking news. But overall, they do a good job of that. So it is possible, depending on the game, I think.
But doesn't Fortnite, like, if you're playing, this was a long time, I haven't played Fortnite for years, but like if you were on Xbox or whatever and you queued with someone who was on PC, I think it put you into a PC lobby. I don't know whether that's still the case. So it used to always, like, if you were mobile playing with an Xbox, it put you in an Xbox. So it kind of put you in the next, like, step up lobby. But I'm not sure if it said, I don't know if that's still how it is or if it's just completely random.
I don't know how that works anymore. I have not played Fortnite in a while either, actually. But I do know that it's possible. Hmm. I feel like it just, it would depend on who you were queuing up with, like you say, whereas if you were just going solo on mobile, you'd mostly be put with mobile players, yeah, or people who are playing with the same, like, input method as you, so either keyboard and mouse or controller. But it's possible that's changed, because they were changing that already back when I used to play, so.
Yeah,
like Call of Duty does input crossplay, thanks Dwayne. And Jim is a big fan of input-based crossplay, because it is going to play a little different. Some games will play a little different if you're on controller versus mouse keyboard, particularly like precision shooters and whatnot. But, you know, LXIV says, you'd be surprised what the players played. so, you know, I mean, it depends on the... it's like I know that guy. It depends on the platform, and you know, a lot of it comes down to the game. But at this point, we're past the days of, well, Sony says they're not gonna, or Microsoft says, we're like, we've moved past that. It's universally understood that if you want to do crossplay, you're not gonna have them standing in your way. Meg will presumably be back with us in just a moment. I know she has terrible internet where she is now. It's so sad. But we'll have Meg back in just a bit.
I'm sorry.
Meg, you can't be co-stream on like Twitch and YouTube and Periscope and all those, why, because the bandwidth is just not there.
Sorry.
Jim says Meg just went to another podcast, so it's every so often she just flips back and forth between these screens. Yeah, I agree. Okay, now on about the couple other you know, new trailers hit this week for WD2K, and then of course the big cyberpunk show with the path system, the life path system and everything. I don't know, there's too much more you can say about Cyberpunk other than if somebody was to say the release date, but has anybody checked out these trailers, and has it given you any kind of additional enthusiasm for playing the game? Miles, are you anticipating the release of Cyberpunk?
So my case is a little weird. I hadn't actually heard of Cyberpunk 2077 before these trailers, which is a really weird case. Oh. I know, because it's like been...
So Miles also does not listen to or watch the Stadia Source podcast, a website he is on. Don't know how I feel about that.
I haven't seen any gameplay of it. It's not like I haven't heard it. I haven't like watched it yet. So watching the trailer is like, it was really concise and kind of explained what it was all about. So now I'm excited for it, if that says anything.
Yeah, I think any more gameplay, you just like blew everybody's mind for just a second. Like, what is this, Fortnite? Is it 14 days? Is that how the game works? Is that what it's about? Isn't that a UK thing? I mean, any additional gameplay that we get to see is great, but I do love that CD Projekt Red is just growing and growing and growing the lore and the world, and they're letting us in on it. I think part of, like, obviously the game looks awesome and the gameplay looks awesome, but getting people hooked using the story, I think, is really smart on their end, because like you look at like the trailer for Watch Dogs Legion that came out during the event that they did a couple weekends ago, and just this. The gameplay's cool. You go and jump into people and you hack them and you recruit them for your team and it's nifty. But like the Terrorists of London story and all this kind of stuff is what kind of took me from being sort of interested in the game to very interested in the game. So I'm very excited to see more of these story-based trailers that give you a little bit more of like how you're going to impact the world with the life paths and everything kind of coming out.
Yeah, and we had Eddie on the stream the other day, didn't we? And he was saying about like how you can kind of choose your origins in the game, and that affects like later parts of the game as well. So that's going to be big, I think.
Yeah, well, it's like with
Fable.
But it's like with GTA 5, how you had the three characters, their different stories, although that didn't really change how things would go. because obviously you'll still interact, you'll still do the same missions no matter what. At least with this, it's like in one of the trailers to mention that if you're, I forgot the name of it, but if you're in like the Badlands or whatever it's called, like the Desert-y kind of area, obviously there is a bunch of people who are like ex-gang members or some kind of little gang who get along well, they're not really welcome to outsiders. Whereas if you play one of the other ones, one of the characters, and you actually go to the Badlands, you're more likely to not get along with those characters and they'll be kind of like cautious about who you are. So I definitely, there's a huge potential for storytelling, no matter how you play it. And again, like unlike GTA 5, where no matter what you do, you're essentially playing the same story, and at times you have to be those characters. With this, you can play the game multiple times and get different stories each time.
Yeah, that's lots of accountability.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, like, that kind of is what got me on Assassin's Creed Odyssey, because there's not, like, it's all going to end the same way. The game is going to kind of go straight, whether you pick her or him, you pick Athens or Sparta, it all just kind of lands in the same place. And Valhalla kind of looks like it's going to do the same thing. Not that I'm not going to play it, and not that Lee's not going to play 100 times more of it than me. but, you know, it kind of feels that way. But when there's, like, when you get to influence the story, that's the games I love. It's the one thing about MMOs is we can't all be the chosen one. It can't literally be that all 7 million of us playing are the one person that can solve the evil empire and fix that. So it's kind of the joke of, you know, oh, Final Fantasy, you're the warrior of light. Yeah, but there's a lot of us. There's like millions of us. So I don't know why it's up to me to defeat the evil empire. Can't Cyber Noob 64 over in the corner, not you, the other one, you know, do it.
But you are the one true chosen one.
Totally random choice of name, I assure you. Hi, Chris. We're glad to have you here on the podcast as well, even if you are coming here late. So speaking of things that are coming, great segue. Rock of Ages 3. We get one more pro game this week, or this month, guys. We've already gotten four. We're getting one more tomorrow, and it's Rock of Ages 3. I like games like this. It kind of looks nifty, and, you know, who doesn't like rolling a ball around and smashing things into tiny bits? Who else is looking forward to make or break? Make and break.
Well, for me, it's like it's not just the fact of being able to just throw a ball down and destroy things. It's also, for me personally, the way that it's modeled in a way slightly on Monty Python. And it's like, for them, loved them ever since I was a kid. Probably shouldn't have watched them when I was a kid, but whatever. And it's like, just rewatched the entire movie collection the other day. Loved it. So I'm hyped for this to play it as soon as it comes out.
And it has the level building components to it, which we haven't heard anything just yet about state share, crowd play, anything of that nature. But if it's, to me, the level building aspect of it would make sense for a state share if they implement kind of the same thing that Crata did, or yeah. So we might get more interesting things. Meg, Sixfo, you guys interested in this particular rollerball game?
I am. I haven't played any of the previous ones, but I'll definitely try this one out. And I agree with you. Like, I'm excited to have the ability to kind of make your own level. So it's not just like you're just playing through a bunch of preset levels. You can like try to mess up your friends and play with people. And I think that aspect will be fun. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm going to play it for like months and months, you know what I mean? Like, I'm excited to take a look at it, but maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe I'll like get addicted. I don't know. We'll see.
It can't be as thrilling and engaging as, you know, the classics on the platform, like Stacks on Stacks on Stacks.
Oh god.
Oh, yeah,
go back to game over and over again.
Meg's gonna become a professional Rock of Ages player.
6-4, are you excited about this one? And you're currently on mute, so you might want to or you're just it's messing with us, which also could be the case.
I was just messing with you. We'll go with that. No, I was saying, is that the bar we're setting for it? What was it? Stacks on Stacks on Stacks?
Stacks on Stacks.
But no, I wouldn't say I'm excited for it, but I'm definitely interested in seeing what the game has to offer, for sure. And like Meg said, I might actually end up really liking it and playing it, because it's always those obscure games or whatever that tend to, you know, pull you away from what you think you'd be playing most of the time. So you never know. It's got good ratings, though, on Steam, though.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd be playing, like, hours of West of Loathing, but, you know.
There you go. Meg, you're a big fan of that one, too, right? West of Logan? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that game.
And who doesn't like to play with huge balls?
Oh.
Orcs Must Die has some weak... I'm just going to move on. We're going to move right
on. Moving right along.
Orcs Must Die 3, weekly challenges. I'm very excited to see that this game is continuing to get updates. Particularly that, you know, because right now it's Stadia exclusive. So the fact that they're releasing new stuff to us, including these weekly challenges and things, are really awesome. Dom, I know you're a big OMD fan. Have you tried to place yourself on the leaderboard yet?
I haven't played Orcs for a little while. I've been working the last few weeks, so I've only been really playing on like lunch breaks and when I get home. And I'm going to get to it eventually. Like, I've got a week off now, so I'll fit some time in for Orcs, I think. And we finally need to do our re-recording of our first play, which is locked away in a secret safe.
Yes,
and no one can ever see.
From my asthmatic breathing and Dom's calling out from a well, desperately crying for help. Nobody will ever see that. It might be in my recycle bin right now. That's how bad it is. I keep an eye out for the gaff trailer from the newsfeed. Has anybody else given the Orcs challenges a shot?
I have done. I've given the first level a go. Quite fun. But you're only given the tar pads that slow the characters down, and boxes that release butterflies, and then the rest of it you have to shoot them with arrows. And make sure you don't die as your health slowly drains, like it does. Was a bit weird to play at first because obviously I'm used to just putting everything down and just destroying everything with whatever I want. So it is more of a challenge, obviously, because it is a challenge. But it is quite entertaining.
I hadn't played it myself. I love the game. The one thing I wish the game had was 4-player co-op, at least, you know, because it just sucks having other people wanting to jump in. It's like, I know you'd have a blast. It doesn't need it. Mechanically, the game works perfectly with 2 players, but give us a 4-player mode. But I want to do those challenges because it's just so fun. It's so fun.
Even 3 would be good as well.
Yeah. Yes, like, man. It's begging for more, you know?
It's fun, don't get me wrong, but just having like that extra mayhem of just stuff happening would just be...
It'd be beautiful.
And that would be a perfect opportunity to, again, show off some Stadia power if it's 4-player on the mega map where it's 6 times the orcs and double the traps and whatever else. Like, do that. Orcs Must... I can't remember who's the studio behind OMD3. Nobody else knows. Great. So do that, studio behind Orcs Must Die 3. I could Google it, but who cares about Google? What a terrible company. I'm kidding. We love you. Give us money. A level editor. A level editor. That's a thing that this game could really do well with as well.
Robot Entertainment. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Robot Entertainment.
That's right.
we would love to have more. So challengers are cool, Robot. Keep doing stuff like that, but
that's great.
More. Give us more. We want more everything. Any other thoughts on OMD3? So speaking of crossplay, because we were speaking of crossplay, Dead by Daylight has had a big announcement this week. They've gone ahead and set up the crossplay launch. In doing so, they changed some of the matchmaking setup that they had. The community wasn't super happy about some of the ways that they had done some of the matchmaking and ranking and all that kind of stuff. So they've changed that. They got rid of that update and they've launched crossplay out. So right now it's fully crossplay between PC, Xbox, PlayStation, and coming hopefully soon within the next 7 weeks, Stadia, which we already knew was going to be coming. They announced it in the trailer. Crossplay, cross progression, or crowd play. Crowd choice, all the C things we're going to get. So Dead by Daylight fans excited for some very well-known crossplay. Dom hates this idea. I can tell. Those of you who are listening on the podcast have no idea why I said that.
I'm a massive fan of this game. Coming up to 1,000 hours now on Steam.
Wow. So clearly, Dom's going to be leading the Dead by Daylight streams on the Stadiosaurus source feed.
As you said, like they have a complicated matchmaking system. So their old system was they have like a emblem. It's complicated, but there's ranking. You start from 20 and you work your way down to one. They did that for a while, but it kind of stagnated because eventually a lot of players were getting towards the lower end of that scale. Then they introduced this hidden MMR ranking system where you couldn't tell like your rank or anything. You just played games and they said that it would even out, but you had like rank one killers who play the game for thousands of hours going against brand new players. Mm-hmm. And it was just not really working at all. Or you'd have just a complete mixed match of players. So they've now reverted it back to the old ranking system of 1 to 20. I have the sneaking suspicion they did that because of crossplay as well. I haven't played it today because I've been out. But some friends have played it and they said they've come against console players. They're all PC players. And the console players have been terrible. Oh. So whether it's going to even out, I don't know. You can like jump out if you don't want to do crossplay. You can untoggle it and you can just play on your platform. But yeah, I literally cannot wait for this game.
How do people get better if they don't play together? Right?
Like, there's a big thing in the DVD community about. I'll just keep going. We'll talk about it when it releases.
Welcome to the Dead by Daylight on Stadia podcast, featuring Dom, Smooth Chocolate. Oh, it came back! So sorry. yep, so excited about that one. Any other thoughts on Dead by Daylight? I think it's nifty. I get scared easily on games, so I'm going to play it just because I said I would, and I want to try out these new features. But I really wish, like, unless Bomberman comes out first, like crowd play, crowd choice, are going to be on the scary game, and I'm going to want to play him. So I'm just going to have to suck it up and do it, but turn on all my lights and don't kill me, Freddy, or whatever, and deal.
DVD community.
DVD.
That's what it sounded like. Though, yeah.
They're coming back. You know, it's like vinyl came back, and then DVD's going to come back, and then Betamax. And
laser disc.
Get some crowdplay hype. We are hyped for crowdplay, Owen. And guarantee you, when crowdplay launches and we have it, you will be invited to join us on stream. You specifically, Owen and Elsa, you too will be, assuming there are two of you, and not just one person.
I can't wait to murder our subscribers.
A phrase that you will only hear on the Stadia Source Roundtable podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
In his voice, you know.
I don't mess around when it comes to Dead by Daylight.
When it's that voice saying it, when it's me, I can't wait to murder our subscribers. That's almost worse. But when it's like, I can't wait to murder our subscribers.
Right.
It's a bit much. Who is everyone's scariest killer in Dead by Daylight? So Dom, who haunts your nightmares DBD?
DBD. That's a tough question. There's lots of different ones. Like, I think Ghostface is pretty scary. If you know Ghostface from Scream.
Someone is being murdered in the background of one of our videos right now, and we have no way to know who it was.
I tried to pretend like it was the normal thing. I'm like, maybe that's just how it goes.
Okay,
my other half in the room next door.
Think of the scary movie.
Zero. Unsubscribed. Take it.
Whatever you say.
Ghostface is the worst killer. Oh!
My other half is playing DVD in the room next door.
That's currently murdering other people's subscribers. Right.
I think they're being murdered, which is the screaming.
So, oh my heavons!
You've got an alibi.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we know. We see you here. Yeah.
They know more, please. Yeah.
Felix in the chat also can't wait to murder our subscribers. If you have not checked him out already, big welcome to Felix. F-Tendo as one of our new video producers, and he is doing game streams. Kicked a little bit of butt in Mortal Kombat this past weekend. Mostly. He did fairly well. I'm just saying. Did fairly well. But it's okay. He did good. We welcome Felix. We're totally glad to have you. It was Power Rangers. Yeah. So, you know. It's fine. Fine.
Don't laugh.
Last bit of
just go in there and just finish the job. Just like get rid.
There's only been 28 of them, like 28 seasons of that so far. Power Rangers were on when I was 4. We'll mention this just because everybody else and their grandmother are currently talking about this game, Fall Guys. If you have no idea what we're talking about, similar to, say, Cyberpunk, if you've never heard of it before, head to YouTube.
Oh my.
You will see plenty. Head to Twitter and go to their account, because every brand on earth is trying to get in on Fall Guys. We're talking KFC, and every video game company on the planet is interacting with these guys, and they're killing it on social media. And so this week, there was a little bit of hullabaloo, because a blog that at least I had never heard of before now was like, hey, and Fall Guys is coming to Stadia and Xbox real soon, you guys. And Fall Guys was like, no, we never said that. And what? They would like to. They would like to come to other platforms, and it's in the plan. But I haven't. Any of you that are not exclusively Stadia, have you given Fall Guys a try yet?
I have, and it's been amazing. If you haven't tried it out and you have like a platform to do it, I highly recommend it. And Google has to do everything in its power to get here. With all the crop choice and crop play features, it would blow up on Stadia, and I think it would do exactly what it needs to.
I'm saving myself for it.
If it does come out
on Stadia, I want Stadia to be the first place that I play it if I do. If it does.
Fair shout.
I mean, it looks super fun, and I've always liked the Wipeout TV shows and the Takashi's Castle and all those, because there's just something super satisfying about watching somebody just get absolutely smashed by a giant swinging foam rod. We're going to leave that one right there as well. But I think I would love to see, I also would love to see that game. Dom, you seem to give it the yes. Did you give it a try?
I've played it on Steam and PlayStation. It's a lot of fun, especially you can team up with 3 other players, so friends, and just go in the group of, I think it's 60 of them in total, you have other players. It's a lot of fun. I feel like they say there's about 20 or 30 different game types, but I seem to get the same ones quite a lot. And it is incredibly frustrating at times. But it's a blast, and I really hope it does come to Stadia. But I will say, when they say, oh, we haven't got any plans yet, whatever, a lot of the time we've heard stuff where developers have said that, and right. Then like a week later they're like, by the way, here it is.
Like, yep.
So,
surprise!
I don't know whether they've got some deal with Sony or whatever, or if, as I know they've introduced today, they did a Team Fortress skin from Valve, obviously, into the game. So I don't know whether, again, they have a deal with them or something. You don't know behind closed doors what's going on. So hopefully it comes to Stadia. It'd be a great game for Stadia, especially with crowd playing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, 2 million copies sold on Steam, 10 million people playing on PlayStation. Granted, it was free with Plus. Thank you, Dwayne. I mean, it's one of those ones where it's like, you cannot buy the level of publicity that they are getting right now for free from all of the people on Twitter trying to put their personal brand into one of these little bean suits. And you just can't buy that kind of publicity.
I saw someone was streaming as a streamer who dresses as a bean entirely as the big cold costume and has painted these eyes on, and it looks incredible.
Yeah, and Outcasters has the same potential, and by gum, there might be some dressing up with Outcasters at some point. I don't know. Haven't heard anything about it. I have no idea what we're talking about.
So is it true that the characters in Outcasters are scoops of ice cream? Because I know
they're Mr. Meeseeks.
They do look like Mr. Meeseeks, and one of them is essentially a scoop of ice cream, yes.
Oh, okay, because they were asking, like, what ice cream are you? And they gave the months and everything. I was like, really? They're scoops of ice cream, huh?
Who would have
thought? Gelato.
Sorry, I'm low-cal right now. I'm Halo Top. I don't get to play very often, and my attacks are kind of light. It's because I'm birthday cake Halo Top. It's okay. I'm excited. I hope we get it. I will get it. It's too popular. There has to be somebody at Google right now going, put another zero on that check and go ahead and put it in the mail.
I'm surprised, like, it's not on Xbox or something. That's why I think there's some kind of deal with Sony.
See, the thing I'm thinking is, I don't know about the PlayStation version because I've not really looked into it, But with Steam, there was, if you pre-order, you do get a Half-Life themed costume for your character, which just from that alone, and with this kind of game, I can imagine it was based for PC at first. Then obviously Sony saw it, wanted in. They've then set up a contract where they get first console dibs at least for the first however long amount of time, 6 months, a year, whatever. And then, like, they've met, like, Fallout, Fall Guys, I was going to call them Fallout Guys then, have mentioned that they are looking at Fallout Boy, that's it.
Irradiated beans. Don't eat those beans.
That they have mentioned that they are looking into other systems for it to play on. So I do think once that contract with Sony that then does end, then let them expand, that's when it will then come to the Xbox and potentially Stadia and whatever else.
See, that's the tricky thing, is normally when there's a console exclusivity, we know. Like, they'll say it out loud, and, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake is console exclusive to, you know, hopefully we'll get it at some point. But, like, they usually say that out loud, so they've never said, maybe nobody's asked, or at least they haven't answered if somebody has, but... You know, again, perks, no cheaters on Stadia, Fall Guys, you know, if you're trying mods or whatever else, but, you know, who knows? Hopefully we'll get it at some point. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Well, guys, put on your unironic Slipknot t-shirt. It's time for the Hot Topic. Like that. It's good. It's always good. You guys liking that more and more every week. More and more every week. This week, we learned why we have not seen Stadia on iOS, and similarly, why we have not seen Stadia, or why we've not, why Microsoft's xCloud is leaving iOS as an available platform. And of course, it's Apple. Apple has basically told folks, hey, look, we don't have any control over the games that you put on there, and we review every game that comes out on our platform, and so since we can't rate and review the game, you can't bring it, you can't stream it on the platform. And that seems to me to be a little weird, because there is a such thing as the Entertainment Software Ratings Board, and the USK, and PEGI, and all the other ones that kind of deal with that already. And last time I checked, they're not asking to rate all the movies on Netflix before they release those into, you know, in for streaming. So, kind of a disappointing thing to hear this week. You know, 6-4, I know you've had a little bit of conversations on this. What's your take on Apple and their streaming shenanigans?
They're trying to get as much opportunity to get a foothold on their own platform as they can, using anything that they can to try to keep the competition at bay. Because they know, I mean, this is something that Microsoft suffers with on Windows. I mean, when you look at a Windows platform, who do you go to for gaming? You definitely don't go to Microsoft for their game platform. You know, their offering is like dead last. You know, they're struggling there. Apple wants to get a strong spot before they allow anybody in that space. They're going to fold, though.
Can I just comment on what Jem said? He said, I hope Google removes Fortnite from their store too. Sorry, this is slightly unrelated. But I think that's a bad idea, because then that's going to just fragment stores on Android. Because then Fortnite might just go, hey, because they had their own store at first, I'm pretty sure. You had to do the Epic.
Yeah, they were letting you go to the desktop and load it, site load it, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But then Epic might just go, hey, I'm just going to go to Samsung store. I'm going to go to the Amazon store. And then everyone's got to have these three bloody stores on their phone for each whatever app they want. It's just anti-consumer. I don't know. It's messy and it's a pain in the ass, but...
And what Jim's referring to, this is just hit the news earlier today, Apple banned Fortnite. Let's take one more step back from that. So... one of the things that is common to all app stores, whether it's Google or Apple, is they're going to take a cut. So if you're posting your game on the app store and you're selling it for 99 cents, Apple is taking 33 cents. They're taking 30% of that. So that also includes in-app purchases. So if you are on Fortnite and you are buying V-Bucks, I have never played Fortnite, so that'll be my confession, Miles, and you're buying their in-game currency, Apple's taken a cut of that too. So earlier this week, Epic released a discounted version of their bucks, where if you go buy them on the Epic store, you get 30% off, or however much it ended up being, and... we knew it was just a matter of time before Apple was totally not okay with that. So earlier today, Apple banned Fortnite from the App Store, which is pretty big because it's the biggest game on the planet. And then, just a few moments ago, Los Angeles Times ran that Epic is suing Apple for their anti-competitive practices. So these salvos are beginning where, you know, folks are getting a little bit tired of that kind of anti-competitive behavior.
It's Epic played a blinder there, didn't they? Because there's no way that they must have had that lawsuit just ready and waiting. They knew exactly what they were doing when they
put up
that special offer, didn't they?
They even had an event in Fortnite with they had like put a video up, and it was about all sort about George Orwell's 1984, and basically there's a big guy with an apple for a head, like talking to these like slaves. It's really like they've done a really good job, and they're trying to start a social media of hashtag free Fortnite and stuff. They baited Apple. Whether Apple know that this was coming and they've got their own plan, God knows. But for Epic have done well here, and then. I'm not normally a big supporter of them because I think Tim Sweeney's a bit of a loon sometimes, but I'm supporting them on this one, I think.
And this just it becomes the point where gaming companies, I think they're looking at folks like Apple and saying, "Look, you're either going to get into this space or you're not, but you're going to let us play." And particularly with xCloud and Stadia, to me, Sundar Pichai needs to be on the phone with whoever at Microsoft needs to be on that call and get on it, or Phil Harrison in our case, and say, let's do it. Let's sue him in the EU. Let's sue him, you know, in United States court, because it's clearly anti-competitive behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that Apple even has like a, they've got the Apple Arcade, but it's not streaming games. So there's nothing that they're competing against. And Google has already said, yeah, you want to take the 20% cut, take the 20% cut or 30% cut. We will cut you that check every month, like we do for other software. I don't get it.
You can still buy games on iOS on Stadia, though, right?
You can launch them to your Chromecast.
Can you buy them on the
app. iOS app?
On the app, yeah. Because you can't play it on the phone. You can download it.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because then, obviously, they're taking the cut already. So it's not about the cut. It's about it's a streaming thing, isn't it? It's about the games themselves.
It's about competition.
Yeah. I think that they're probably thinking that they're going to want to launch their own. Because I agree, Apple Arcade, it's a subscription service, but it's not game streaming. I think that they are probably working on making their own. I mean, all the other companies are that we look at. And the ad that they just put out is a remake of the original ad that Apple used to advertise the original Macintosh in 1984. Clive is saying that it's satire. Yeah, so they're actually like, they remade it with like Fortnite characters. So, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't think that Apple can last forever with this, though. I don't think it's sustainable. I mean, these companies are huge, and people are gonna want to play Fortnite on their phones. Like, they're not gonna want to get iPhones. All these kids, and I mean a lot of kids play Fortnite, but they're not gonna want iPhones if they can't play Fortnite with their friends on it. So I don't think Apple can maintain this like sort of lockout that they're doing indefinitely.
They're really They're really forming an antagonistic relationship with a lot of game makers, and then, you know, people like Microsoft and Google for them.
Well, I was going to say, like, we already know that, like, for example, you said a minute ago, it's not so much about the dollar, it's about Apple policing what games can and can't come onto their service. So, for example, if we were to just take now the whole Fortnite debacle that's happening at this point in time, and let's just say tomorrow they announce, hey, Fortnite's now on Stadia. It's not. Calm yourself. But imagine, let's just use our imaginations and say that they said that. Then, technically, if, for example, Stadia was on iOS, then all of a sudden you could play Fortnite on an iOS device and Apple wouldn't be able to have a say on it. So they want to kind of be able to police what apps go, what games go out. So it might, you might find that if Stadia does come to Apple, you know what I mean? Certain games might not be available on the iOS as opposed to Android and obviously Chromecast and blah, blah, blah. See, because Apple will say no.
Just thinking on that, isn't Shadow still on iOS?
Yeah, because you're allowed Shadow. To do, you're allowed to have remote desktop clients. And that's what Shadow is.
Right.
But technically, because you can use the PC for other stuff on Shadow.
Yeah.
It's basically so, just like, renting a PC.
Technically in the cloud sort of gaming sort of zone.
Yeah,
isn't
but
it?
It's, from what I understood, I said so you can have remote desktop, you can't have something that provides a specific game.
Right.
So that's why xCloud again also isn't, and that's why they were in their beta test they were limited to one game.
Can I just ask how Netflix does this? Like, does Apple?
It's different for games as to entertainment. So
but does Apple have
thing.
A say on what TV shows and movies actually go onto Netflix? No. So if they were to have some sort of personal beef with, you know what I mean, the producers of
Universal,
a film or something,
you
know, that they would cause problems then if they tried to release, you know what I mean, a film on Netflix.
No, so from what I understand, the term was interactive media.
Right.
But then people were like, hey, what about Bandersnatch? Which, if you don't know, was the Black Mirror thing on Netflix, which you could choose options.
I can interact with my movie. I can press play and forward. And
this is one of those ones where this is going to end up in court at some point. The EU has some of the there's you couldn't get further away. There's California in the United States, and then there's the EU in the EU, and they're both like, we just don't do anti-competition. We don't like you, Apple, and we don't like you, Google, and we're going to, you know, California a little bit less so because that's a lot of tax revenue, but the EU just doesn't care. They're like, we'll sue you? Sure, you can absolutely take them to court. Yeah, we'll absolutely take that case. I'm sure it's not with that accent either. So this is gonna end in a lawsuit if Microsoft and Google choose to do it, or if some enterprising Stadia or xCloud user in the European Union decide that they're going to launch a consumer facing complaint on this.
Yeah. So we'll just say I do love Jem's comments. It's a little bit violent in ways, but if you don't like their policies, don't buy the devices, which is simple anyway, because Android is better. But then it's like paying a body.
Didn't you just show us an iPhone a second ago?
I have. I got that for free. I've had no choice. I sold my Android for a 3D printer. Shut it. but it's like punching a body in the face and then complaining that the punch you in the face was still paying them to punch you in the face.
The thing is, though, I kind of disagree with that statement because there's a lot more reasons why someone might buy an iPhone other than the games. You know what I mean? Some people like the UI, some people like Apple Music and all that jazz.
So, then they're stupid.
Android. Yes.
Yeah, I'm not really much of a fan of iPhones. I have a work iPhone, but that's it. But yeah, there might be some people that this would sway their opinion. Others might be, nah, it's a small price to pay.
Well, and I think to me, I don't see, I think I said this on the last pod, I don't see Stadia, no, I said it on Twitter, I don't see Stadia moving the needle on anybody's game, on anybody's phone purchase. I don't think right now there's anybody that's going to say, well, I really want to play Stadia on my cell phone, but I can't because I'm looking at either an iPhone or Android. But xCloud might. With that Samsung event that happened last week and the really killer integrations that they're doing and the xCloud, the Xbox Kishi Razer from Razer. Yeah, like that's when you take the install base of Xbox and make them have to choose where they're going to end up playing their game, that could move the needle a little bit for Apple.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I've seen on my Twitter feed a lot of hardcore Xbox players who are currently on iOS have already said they're going to move to Android.
Yeah.
Purely because of the xCloud and what's happening.
They've but then if said, it moves, you know, the needle, if xCloud moves the needle, then it has the potential to move the needle for Stadia 2. And I think you say it all the time, Avery, is a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yep. Yeah, it's not gonna it's not gonna make the world better. If xCloud gets on and Stadia doesn't, there's a lawsuit right there. That's not even any question. So that's bound to happen.
I think unfortunately in this case xCloud will be the one that opens the door with Apple. I don't think it'll be Stadia or Google. It's gonna be Microsoft. If it's gonna happen, Microsoft are gonna be the ones that get it going.
Yeah, no matter what, no matter how much we love Stadia or Google or whatever, at the end of the day, Xbox and Microsoft has been around doing this for a lot longer than what we have. Not the cloud side, but just gaming in general.
Yeah.
Obviously got decades worth of fans. It's like Dan, ever since I've known him, since we were like, what, 12, 13? Or at least starts around that age.
A wee baby Dan.
Yes. like he's always had, his main console has been an Xbox. So for them to have Xbox people not want to switch, but you expect everyone to switch just for Stadia, unfortunately is a bit of a fantasy.
Well, I mean, Microsoft has the most to lose in this regard too, because their cloud services are mainly focused on the mobile market. So, well, it's only focused on the mobile market. So they definitely got a bigger reason to push much, much harder.
And if you can't get, I mean, it's phones and tablets. So right now it's Android phones and tablets. So if you can't, you know, at least with Stadia, you can get it on your Chromecast. So there's another in your browser. But with xCloud, you're going to have to either have a Samsung phone or an Android phone or an Android tablet. And let's just be honest, there are so many more iPads out there than there are Galaxy Tab XP 14 betas. So... It's a no-brainer for Microsoft to push very hard about this.
Absolutely.
So that then they can come out at some event. And what'll probably happen is the thing that always happens. There'll be a WWDC conference next year, and you know, Tim Cook will walk out on stage holding an iPad, and then out comes Major Nelson, and it's gonna be like, we're xCloud on iPad, exclusive integrations with the Joni Ive designed Xbox controller, and you know,
don't forget the white gloves. He's got to come out with the white gloves, man.
There's
QVC music going.
There's just some. We only have 14 left. Call now. it's coming. There's got to be check. There's either it's going to end up in one way, lawsuit or check. Like that's it ends in one of two ways. So any last thoughts on our hot topic for tonight, Apple versus Google versus Microsoft?
Shout out to Slipknot. That's all I got to say.
I think it's going to be interesting to watch it play out. I think it's time to get the popcorn and just kind of sit and watch how it all unfolds.
As I said to you earlier, Dom, I think you had a good point on this, is obviously... Epic's big issue is that Apple take 30%, but Google do the same, don't they? So
yeah.
Fortnite's on the Play Store, am I right?
As I said, I think Jem's talking about in the chat as well. I'm pretty sure they're breaking the Play Store rules as well.
Yeah, so it's just why is Apple in Epic's crosshairs? Why are they not? They're not.
One lawsuit.
I know they've mentioned Google in the past,
Tim Sweeney's have been against Google and Apple since the beginning because he thinks a 30% cut is ludicrous. Mm. I don't know what the percentage Epic is. I think it's 15% on their store.
No, is it not 8 or something? Something's crazy. Oh,
It's way lower. But I guess they haven't said anything against Google yet because Google haven't removed it.
Mm. There'll be a second lawsuit filed if Google kills that from the store too.
And I'm pretty sure Google are just going to watch and see how this plays out for a little bit. They've got nothing to lose at the moment. Well, they've got a bit of money for anyone buying V-Bucks on Android if they do it via Epic's methods.
Yeah.
Meh. Like,
and even then, like, it's highly likely that it's a safe assumption that Epic and Stadia are in talks to bring Fortnite. It's the biggest game on the planet. It would be ridiculous. And they've mentioned before, well, we're waiting for the install base and all that, but that's fine. There is a 12%, thank you, Terza Reactor. It's coming. So if anything, that conversation is not happening with Apple because Apple does not have a cloud streaming service. So somebody at Epic and somebody at Google are like, we've got a contract that's in red lines right now with the legal team, so why don't we not screw around with this? And then, of course, Android, thank you, Jem. Android lets you download anything outside the Play Store. So even if they were to just pull it off the store again, Epic would just say, okay, great, here's the link. Go sideload the APK.
You
know,
could you not do that for Stadia to, like, you know, get Fortnite? If they obviously came to an agreement with Epic to say, right, well, you know, it's 30%, you've got an issue, let's lower it. I think Xbox and PlayStation have done that. What I've heard before, that although they do, I think they're 30% on their stores as well, but I think in the case of Fortnite, they've, like, they did a deal, so they take a lower
percentage, but then other devs would go, that's not fair, why do they get a lower percentage than us?
There are most assuredly contracts that we will never see that are responsible for a lot of this.
Is this the same for them all, like music subscribers and Netflix and stuff? They're all taking a percentage. Whereas it's different on Apple than Android, because you can sign up on, you sign up on like the Chrome browser or whatever, you're not paying the percentage, but if you sign up anywhere, you can't sign up. Oh, it's complicated, but yeah, it's
that messy. Summarizes this whole darn thing, is it's complicated.
relationship that is.
Yes. Yeah, anyway, to answer a quick point he was about to make a second ago about can't you kind of like sideload the app to iPhone as well? As far as obviously you'll have to, I've got what they got it now, but essentially root it.
Jailbreak.
Say on iOS, but on Android, it's, you just hit the
accept. You just download it, change the settings, and that's it. Whereas with iPhone, there is the potential, obviously, as long as you don't somehow mess it up, there is still the chance by doing that you could end up messing up your phone and breaking it while trying to jailbreak it.
Probably 99% of people that own an iPhone are not going to jailbreak it.
No way.
It's been much harder to jailbreak an iPhone than it is root an Android phone.
Yeah. What is this jail thing? I just want to look at pictures of my daughter's cat. I don't need to jail anything. Who's in jail? It's not going to happen. So, well, thank you guys for a fantastic discussion on all of this. With that, Meg and 64, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight. It was wonderful to have you. Meg, if people want to find you online, where should they go?
YouTube.com/MegatronX.
Where she's always streaming.
Spelled right there in the corner. Look at that little line. 64, how about you? Where can people find you online?
You can find me at YouTube.com/LXIVGO. That's 64 go, baby. And you can also find me on Twitter at LXIV Gold as well. You know what it is.
I think there's, you're missing, like, in the controller rack behind you, you need a Nintendo 64 controller back there. Because it's 64. You know, somebody's got one. One of the folks that are watching right now, if you've got one just gathering dust in a basement, DM them on Twitter.
I regret getting rid of my Nintendo 64 years ago. Because I went looking for one. I went looking for one. They're like $200-$300 now.
I bought one on eBay about 10 years ago, played it for about 2 months, and then sold it again for like double the price.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm one of those guys who's looking on eBay every day like, come on.
I just want a deal, for goodness sake. I just want a deal. And Meg. We do know Meg Drennan. Meg's your, he's the favorite.
Hey!
I was gonna say, Meg, did you ever do that like 72-hour live stream or something you were supposed to do?
Oh, I did a 24 hour. Isn't that enough?
I'm pretty sure there was once upon a time I'd heard a rumor that you were going to do a 72-hour stream, and I said it on our podcast, and you were like, no.
That was a rumor, but I never, that rumor did not start with me. 24 hours,
it's no joke. I'm just picturing by the end of that, you're like, I'm going to put the, no, I got it. Okay, it's fine. It's fine. No, guys, Link hit the like and subscribe. Hit the like and subscribe. I can't. Just hit the like and subscribe.
Right. I did the whole 24 hour with Link, and he was literally like just making like sounds as if he was in pain for the last like 6 hours. It was awful. It was really awful.
Just record yourself going, yeah, uh-huh, good game. Yeah, uh-huh, good game. Right. 72 hour Red Dead 2 stream. You heard it here first, guys. If you're on the podcast, if you're listening online, she's actually nodding right now and giving us a big thumbs up. So if you're just listening to the podcast,
don't let her fool you.
Meg, have you ever tried to calculate how many hours you've actually streamed Stadia for?
I wouldn't. No, I haven't. I didn't. Nope. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot.
More than anybody else, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, yeah. And I've been on a hiatus for like a little while. I haven't streamed in a while, but I'm making videos still, but I'll get back to it.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Get that bandwidth upgrade.
Hundreds of hours. Starlink will save me. Elon.
Starlink. These days. If you can play if you can play Stadia in your Tesla, then by God, make it work. Well, if you are joining us here live, we are so thankful to have you. Please make sure to let us know that you liked it by hitting that like button down below. And if you are one of the amazing people that happen to want to support the show, and you can do that by becoming a patron on Patreon. And it would help if I hit that little button that says share. These folks right here are our platinum patrons, as well as the other levels who are doing an amazing job. A couple of familiar faces in that list right there that might happen to be on this podcast right now. You can become a patron and get exclusive access to things like patrons-only gameplay sessions if you hit that lovely button at the bottom that says become a patron, or the button at the bottom of any page that says become a patron. And hey, we're parched. If you want to buy us a coffee, hit that buy us a coffee button. That just lets us get a little bit of love from you. That you are enjoying the content you are seeing here on Stadia Source. Thank you so much for being a patron. We appreciate it. Guys, it's so good to have all of you here tonight for the roundtable. Lord Moore, have a good rest of your Thursday.
I'll try.
Dan, you as well?
Absolutely will do. Holiday next
Lee.
Week. So.
Yep. Woo! Holiday! Lee? Dom?
It's been emotional.
And Miles, thank you for being here tonight.
See ya.
Don't forget to head over to stadiasource.com and click on the Orsley Essentials review pinned to the homepage, because we are giving one of those away, and you could win a free Orsley Essentials game pack. You can read exactly what you would like about it through Adam's amazing review. And if you want a chance to enter, at the bottom of that review is a link that takes you to a Google form. Entries must be submitted by 11:59:59 British on the 26th. We will be announcing the winner on our podcast right here 2 weeks from tonight on the 27th. So make sure you check out that link and enjoy. If you are listening to us as a podcast, don't forget you could actually join us most Thursday nights, even though next week it's going to be Wednesday, because I'm also going on holiday, but I don't go till Thursday, so highly jealous of Dan there. You can join us most weeks right here on YouTube for the live taping of our podcast, and if you are watching this on YouTube, you can download us as a podcast on Google Play Podcasts and Stitcher and SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts and all those amazing places that you can. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Stadia Source, like us on Facebook, put us in your top 8 on MySpace, and you can join our Discord at stadiasource.com/discord. If you haven't already, down below this video is a thumbs up button that lets us know you liked what you saw today, and while you're there, right next to it is a subscribe button. It'd be super awesome if you click that so that you can be told anytime we go live in the future. Thank you so much for joining us right here on Stadia Source Roundtable, and have a good one. It's chaos at the end of the round.
Why is it just Big Meg?
Who's Ellie?
Thank you all.